welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and to keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your husband. Go wake up your wife. Go wake up them children. Go wake up that oldest girl. Wake up that youngest girl. Wake up that oldest boy and that youngest boy, and let them know that in your corner is on there. All right, let them know now. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world, wherever the internet radio can be found. Now go get them up. Get them out that bed, sleepyhead. Get out the bed, sleepyhead. I know what I need to go do. Let me just go out here and get my roosters. Let me go get my rooster. Let me go to the chicken yard. Come on. Come on, Benny. Yeah, come on, Benny. Come on, come on, Red. Come on, Crow. Come on. Come on, come on. Yeah. Wake them up. Just wake them up. 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 Yeah, wake them up. Wake them up. Get them out the bed. Get them out the bed. Oh, yeah. See, there ain't no get up unless y'all crow. Come on, come on, come on. Crow, crow. That's one of my roosters. One of my roosters' name is Crow. Come on, Crow. Crow, Crow. All right, y'all doing good. Let me put y'all back up. Thank y'all, roosters. Y'all know y'all do a good job. Let me go get a good song. This called The Bible Is Right.
I know the Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. Well, I done told you once, done told you twice. Sweetheart and a wife. I know the Bible's right. 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 I done told you time and time again. Can't make the heaven while you're sipping gin. Still got work to do.
That's the Bible is right. Somebody is wrong. All right. That's your song for today. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading this morning out of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 40. Reading first Genesis chapter 37. Out of the Bible experience.
Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them,
"Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it."
His brothers said to him,
"Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?"
And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers.
"Listen,"
he said,
"I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me."
When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said,
"What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?"
His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph,
"As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them."
"Very well,"
he replied. So he said to him,
"Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me."
Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him,
"What are you looking for?"
He replied,
"I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?"
"They have moved on from here,"
the man answered.
"I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'"
So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him.
"Here comes that dreamer,"
they said to each other.
"Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him.
Then we'll see what comes of his dreams."
When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands.
"Let's not take his life,"
he said.
"Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him."
Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers,
"What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood."
His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said,
"The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?"
Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said,
"We found this. Examine to see whether it is your son's robe."
He recognized it and said,
"It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces."
Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted.
"No,"
he said,
"in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son."
So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Udullam, named Hira. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and made love to her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Er. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kizib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan,
"Sleep with your brother's wife, and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother."
But Onan knew that the child would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so he put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar,
"Live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up."
For he thought,
"He may die too, just like his brothers."
So Tamar went to live in her father's household. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah, to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told,
"Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep,"
she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said,
"Come now, let me sleep with you."
"And what will you give me to sleep with you?"
she asked.
"I'll send you a young goat from my flock,"
he said.
"Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it?"
she asked. He said,
"What pledge should I give you?"
"Your seal and its cord, and the staff in your hand,"
she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend, the Adullamite, in order to get his pledge back from the woman. But he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there,
"Where is the shrine prostitute who is beside the road at Enaim?"
"There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here,"
they said. So he went back to Judah and said,
"I didn't find her. Besides, the men who live there said there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here."
Then Judah said,
Let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her.
About 3 months later, Judah was told.
Your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant.
Judah said,
bring her out and have her burned to death.
As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law.
I'm pregnant by the man who owns these,
she said. And she added,
see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are.
Oh,
Judah recognized them and said,
oh, she is more righteous than I. Since I wouldn't give her to my son, she...
And he did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said,
this one came out first.
But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out, and she said,
so this is how you have broken up.
And he was named Peres. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was given the name Zerah. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said,
oh, come to bed with me.
But he refused.
With me in charge,
he told her,
my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?
And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said,
come to bed with me.
But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants.
Look!
She said to them,
this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us, and he came in here to sleep with me. But I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.
She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story.
That Hebrew slave you bought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.
When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house,
"Why do you look so sad today?"
"We both had dreams,"
they answered.
"But there is no one to interpret them."
Then Joseph said to them,
"Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams."
So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him,
"In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand."
Mm-hmm. This is what it means.
Joseph said to him,
"The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon."
When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph,
"I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head."
This is what it means,
Joseph said.
"The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh."
Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of his chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him.
All right. That was our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of Genesis, Genesis 37 through 40. May God bless those who read and who heard his holy word. All right, y'all, it's prayer time now. It's prayer time. Let's gather around and let's come to Jesus. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how we do it. You know how we do it. Come on, Daddy. Come on, grab Mama by the hand. Come on, children. Come on, children. Grab the children. Grab the children by the hand. Come on, y'all. Let's hold hands. Yes, let's go from hand to hand, heart to heart, breath to breath. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you once again for being our God. And you are God all by yourself. Thank you so much, dear God, for how you've been blessing us. You just keep blessing us over and over and over again. Thank you, Lord, that we woke up this morning and everything is working. Thank you, Lord, that we could see this morning. Our eyes is working. Thank you, Lord, we can hear. Our ears are working. Thank you, Lord, we can smell. Thank you that our nose is working. Thank you, Lord, we can taste. Thank you, Lord, our tongues are working this morning. We could even talk this morning. Thank you, Lord, it's working this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we can bend over and touch our toes. Even my backs are working. Our hands are working. Our arms are working. We can walk. Our legs and feet are working, dear God. We just thank you, Lord. Even on the inside, Lord, our hearts and lungs and stuff. Everything is working. We're feeling good this morning. Thank you, Lord. Everything is working. But, Lord, we know that some folks, things ain't working quite as well. Lord, I don't know what's wrong with their bodies, Lord, but you know what the sickness is. And I ask, dear God, that just like you went from town to town when you was on this earth, Lord, you would just go throughout our community today, Lord. You know where these listeners are at. Some are in America and some are overseas, dear God. But they are sick this morning and they need to be healed. So, Lord, send your healing power and touch right now. Lord, there are those that's on their beds of affliction right in their homes right now. They can't even get up and go to work this morning. So touch their bodies in a mighty way. Lord, there are others, dear God, that's in nursing homes and in hospitals. Lord, they need to be touched. Doctors done gave up on some of them. Touch their bodies and heal their bodies in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, be with your people on this day in a mighty way. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. All right, that's it, that's it, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done sung our song, we done had our prayer, we done had our scripture. Clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for getting up early this morning with us. Now let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, the minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Now get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready now for that early morning sermon. Ooh-wee, you got to have the word. You know, Jesus said man can not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So I'm going to get that on for you in just a commercial. So then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters. Because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. Somebody needs to say something about it. You know, I'm your watchman on the wall. I'm watching out for you. Informing you, educating you, empowering you on the issues of our day. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back in the Situation Room where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. Oh, it's a radio drama. Real live people make you face yourself and think. You know somebody that's on drugs, alcohol, or hooked on sex, or whatever the addiction is. Let them listen to Unshackle. I guarantee you, Unshackle can unshackle them. Amen, amen. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, amidst the end of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend. Tell a neighbor. Tell a co-worker about us. Because we are in your corner.